If you have your Bibles this morning, please open with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. And if you would like to, stick your finger in the book of Luke. Let me see what chapter it is. I think it's Luke chapter number 14. Stick your finger in there. I want to read a parallel passage of Scripture this morning, and I believe the Lord is wanting us to know something that's on His heart today. I hope and pray that the Lord will speak to our hearts today. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God if you're able. In Matthew chapter 22, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. If you found your place, say amen. Amen. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding. And the word of God said, they would not come. Think about that. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner for oxen. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. It's bad enough that they wouldn't come, but look what the Bible said here. They made light of it. And they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. I think about that, and I think about a little boy that was visiting in the first church that I pastored. His aunt had brought him to church, and he was only 4 or 5 years old. And when I started preaching that morning, he looked over at his aunt and said, He mad? She said, No, honey, he's just preaching. She said, No, he mad. He really mad. That's what he said to his aunt. I believe the king... There's some things that make him angry. The Word of God said something like this. He's angry with the wicked every day. This is something simple. I called my son. He's been sick this week. And I said, Son, do you need anything? And it was just mentioned in passing. He said, I think his wife said, I forgot to get him some bean with bacon soup. Well, guess what Dad did? I took off. Went to get some bean with bacon soup. Miss Eve said, Honey, you going to go get it? I said, Yeah, I am. I said, My boy will remember that. But when I got there, brother, he received it. He stayed up on the porch and I throwed it up to him a can at a time. 4 times. 4 cans of bean with bacon soup ought to get us all praying. Say amen. He received it. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? What if I went through that, just that simple thing, and went over there and he told me to take my soup and put it in the car and go home? Boy, Jesus has done so much more than a can of soup for us. He died for us. He's invited us to a wedding. The Bible said he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them, or bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. When the king came in to the guests, to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? The word of God said he was speechless. I've heard people say something like this, when I see the Lord, I'm going to say this, or I'm going to tell him this, or I'm going to... I'll tell you what I believe we'll be speechless. I believe we'll fall at his feet, those of us that know him. The word of God talked about this man that didn't have on the wedding garment, which I believe is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. They said to the king, to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. You can be seated. Let's pray together. Then we'll read a parallel passage in the book of Luke and see what God has for us today. Father, thank you today. Lord, a number of visitors with us today, and we're so grateful. Folk would take time out to come and visit with us here at Bible Way. I pray, Lord, they would sense the welcome by the people. But more than that, I pray they would sense the welcome by the precious Holy Spirit of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts today. Lord, there's not one of us that deserve that, but Lord, we need that. We need you to help us. We need you to speak to us. Lord, I want to thank you that there was a day in my life when you came by and invited me to the wedding. Lord, I believe all things are now ready. It ain't going to be long, Lord. We're going to be attending the marriage supper of the Lamb. I pray, dear Father, that each one of us would determine in our heart that we want somebody to go with us, and Lord, make an effort, God, to invite others. Lord, the king, he sent out servants. Lord, we that know you as our Savior, we are your servants. We're your hands. We're your feet. We're your eyes. We're your heart. We're your light. We are your salt here on the earth. Help us this day, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. In the book of Luke, I'd like to begin reading in chapter 14 and verse number 16. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. I thought about asking a question before I started reading either text this morning. How many of you have breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Would you raise your hand? Okay. How many of you have breakfast, dinner, and supper? Would you raise your hand? Okay. Which one's right? You call me and I'll figure any of them's right. But actually, in one text, the word dinner is used. In the other text, the word supper is used. So quit arguing over that. Amen. It just come to, why don't we call it dupper? We can't call it sinner, though. That wouldn't be right. Amen. A certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time. I believe it's supper time, don't you? Amen. To say to them that were bidden, come. I love that word in the Bible. For all things are now ready. And they all with one consent, in other words, all at the same time, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. In verse number 20, this man told the truth. He said, I married a wife and I can't come. You see why I keep asking you that, Nick? Every Sunday morning I ask Nick, are you sure about this? I'm just aggravating him, amen. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. By the way, Nick, Rusty made it okay, so you'll be all right. Amen. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, here's another picture, being angry. The Bible said wrath in that other text, being angry. He said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city. Bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out unto the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in. Notice this little phrase, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. I'd like to speak to you for just a few minutes today on this subject. God's servants at supper time. I don't believe we're living in the last days. I believe we're living in the last of the last days. I believe we're living on the threshold of the coming of the Son of God for His church. I don't know about you, but I sure would like to be found doing what He wants me to do. And I believe one of the greatest things we can be involved in is inviting folks to this supper. We know that the Holy Spirit uses God's people. We know that the Holy Spirit uses God's Word. We know that the Holy Spirit uses God's creation. The Bible said the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. And we know that there is a supper that's ready. Jesus said, He uses the word come here. Over in the book of Matthew, He said, come unto me, all you that labored are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. A lot of people this Lord's Day are going to rest, worship, dedicate some time to the things of God. There are a lot of people that when this day is over, they will be absolutely wore out. They'll be exhausted physically. They'll be exhausted mentally because they've not given God the place that He wants to have in their life. The supper is ready. I was at my sister's years ago for an Easter dinner. Bobby had a wraparound porch on the house there where she lived. And I guess the table, let me just in my mind just a minute go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7 tables times 8 foot would be what? Is that 56? Answer me. Okay, it is. Okay, I should have looked at Miss Eve, shouldn't I, Hannah? She would have been there ahead of me. Amen. So there's a table 56 feet long. I learned something that day that I've never learned before. What we did, all the food was set down through the middle of the table. And what we did is we asked the blessing. We stood and we asked the blessing. If I remember correctly, my dad asked the blessing. And then we just did a big rotation. In other words, you went all the way around the table and come back to your seat. with your plate. I liked it. I was full by the time I got back to my seat. You can hold more standing up. You're working a little bit of it off as you go. But have you ever stopped in your heart and in your mind and wonder what it's going to be like when God's people get together? Amen. One of the things I loved about traveling for those 10 years, I was reminded of it when I was recently in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I met some of God's choice servants, some wonderful men of God preached in that meeting that I'd never met before in my life. But at that table, we'll meet them all. We'll meet all of God's youngins. Many of them, no one knows their name. Nobody knows that little corner of the mountain where they're pastoring. No one knows, beloved, listen, who they are. But God knows who they are, and there's going to be a grand day at that supper. The supper's ready. That's what the Bible said in both of these texts. A certain man. In Isaiah chapter 55, let me read a text here for just a moment. In Isaiah chapter 55, you say, Pastor, why won't people come to the supper? Many won't come to the supper because they won't stop. The word of God, the first word in Isaiah 55 is ho. And that just means stop. Some people are running so fast in this walk of life that they will never stop and consider that we're not always going to be on planet Earth. There's going to be a day when we're going to have to leave this planet. And we're going to go somewhere. We're either going to go to supper or we're going to go to torture. We're either going to go to Jesus or we're going to go to judgment. One or the other. The word of God said here, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Look at the word come. He that hath no money, come ye, buy, eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, your labor for that which satisfieth not? All the people in Kingsport, Tennessee today that are not satisfied and will never be satisfied. Because they have not come and accepted the invitation to God's supper. Hearken diligently unto me. That means listen. Eat ye that which is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear. Come unto me. Hear. And your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Even the sure mercies of David. I'm so glad there was a day in my life. I love the song, Brother Ralph, that says, come unto me. But there was a day in my life when the Holy Spirit of God made that real to me. Come unto me. And oh, I was heavy laden. The sin burden that I was carrying was heavy. When I came to the Lord, He took that off of me. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation 22. Let me grab one verse of Scripture there and we'll go on to the second thing in the message. In Revelation chapter 22, you know that last Sunday and on Wednesday night, I've been trying to encourage the church to take up the slack. Let's start being the witnesses God wants us to be. Let's start sharing the gospel God wants us to share. Let's start inviting people to supper. The Word of God said in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, verse 17, and the Spirit, how many believes the Spirit of God is still bidding people to come? And the bride, that's what the Word of God said, the Spirit and the bride. Who is the bride? We are, amen. We're the bride of Christ. We've been redeemed. We're on our way to supper. God wants us to take somebody with us. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let me give you something real quick and I'm going to move on. Everybody in hell has one thing in common. They would not come. Everybody in heaven has one thing in common. They all, somebody, God used the saint of God, God used the spirit of God, God used the scriptures, and they heard the invitation to dinner, come unto me, and they came to Jesus. Really, salvation is what you do with Jesus. You reject him, and you'll be forever lost. You receive him. There's things that have to take place in order to receive him. The Bible talks about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. You can't just come planning just to keep on living the way you've always been living. There's got to be a desire for change in your life. A desire for sins to be forgiven. A desire to live for God. When there is, God can help you. Supper's ready. The second thing that I see here is the servants are sent. The Word of God said he sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. This Bible still says go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel to every creature. This Bible still says that you and I, Jesus said as he prayed to the Father in John chapter 17, he said, Lord, he said, Father, as you have sent me into the world, even so send I them. You say, Pastor, that is only applying to the disciples. Then why would Jesus just a verse or two later say, Beloved, I pray not for these alone, but for all those who through these will believe. You and I are believers today because somebody took up the gospel and began to get it out into the world. Servants are sent. Are you a sent one? I'll say this. If you're a saved one, you're a sent one. You say, Pastor, if we're sent, why don't we go? There may be 1,000 different answers to that. I don't know them all. But I do know this. In Isaiah chapter number 6, Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. If you will read the book of Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, Isaiah, just like this pastor has done, just like many pastors will do today, they'll stand in the pulpit and tell you everything that's wrong in this country that we live in. Everything that's wrong in the church and everything that's wrong among God's people. Let me tell you this. Isaiah, he would over and over, he'd say, woe unto them. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. The Bible said in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. He heard them, the seraphims, the cherubims crying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. You can read it, beloved. No longer does Isaiah thinking about the nation, thinking about what's wrong with them. But Isaiah cries out, woe is me. I'm undone. You can say whatever you want to. I believe Isaiah was a wonderful man of God. Amen. But he said, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. The Word of God talked about that seraphim that took that coal off of the altar and purged his lips. Then said I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall go forth? Whom shall I send? Whom shall go forth? He said, then said I, here am I. Send me. Oh, dear God, we could have revival in America if every one of God's people said, here am I. Send me. Send me to my lost neighbors. Send me to my lost co-workers. Send me to my lost family members. Send me to a lost world. I called a lady yesterday. Her daughter answered the phone. Miss Eve and I drove to Illinois years ago. Y'all have become familiar. There's a small, God doesn't have any little churches and big churches, but as far as number, they're small in number. I've been preaching revival there for years. Last year we missed because of COVID. First year in a long time. This lady was married to the pastor there when we met him, Brother Roy. Brother Roy died with cancer. She remarried a couple years later to Brother John. Brother John went to Uganda with the gospel, brother. Come back, he had contracted malaria. He forgot his medicine, Brother Larry, to take with him. Within a week or so, he's in heaven. What I picked up in the conversation as I talked to Lisa, which was Carolyn's daughter, she said the doctors came in and said, "We're so sorry, we're so sorry. We're so sorry." Carolyn looked at him and said, "Don't be sorry. This man died doing what he loved to do, taking the gospel to a lost world." There's not a doubt in my mind when some realized they had forgot their medicine, they'd be on a plane headed back. You say, "Pastor, what he did was foolish." I'll tell you what I believe. I believe, beloved, before he was ever born, God knew the day that he'd be leaving this world. But I'll see John again at supper time. Supper's ready. The servants are sent. The next thing I see in the message is some make excuses. I don't know who buys a piece of land without looking at it. I don't know who buys a yoke of oxen without making sure they can plow. But with one consent, they all begin to make excuses. I tried to teach you this. I'm not sure if it was last week or Wednesday night, but I'm going to tell you this right now. When we do our part and they make excuses, it's on them. It's not on us. But if we don't do our part, then it is on us to invite them to the supper. They had no consideration. I want you to think about this for just a moment. How many's been married? Would you raise your hand if you've been married or you are married, okay? How many knows there's a lot goes into that? You better believe there is. There's a lot that goes into the preparation for a marriage. But I'm going to tell you something right now. For this supper we're talking about, there's a lot more. We're talking about a king that gave his son to die so that you and I, the likes of you and I, could be invited to his supper. I don't know about you. They had no consideration for the master's preparation for what he had done. My mother-in-law, she wasn't too fancy about Miss Eve and I getting married. But I'll tell you what she told me the night before the wedding. "You back out now and I'll kill you." All that preparation. The fact of the matter is, when people back out and make excuses, they're going to die. There was no consideration for the master's preparation. There was no consideration for the master's plan. You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" You're looking at a pastor. Listen, I'm not going to argue with you. But I don't believe my Heavenly Father planned on anybody going to a devil's hell forever and ever and ever. I believe that when people die without God, They leave this world. They reject the invitation to the supper. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, they're going against God's plan for their life. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? For God so loved the world. Not the white world or the black world or the yellow world. Not the rich world or the poor world. But the whole world. Amen. That includes you. That includes me. No consideration. The Bible talks about in both of these a certain man. And I'll tell you, this certain man had a certain plan for my life. So many will live and die and never discover God's perfect will for their life. How sad. In Matthew chapter 22, verse number 6, not only did they have no consideration for the master's preparation, no consideration for the master's plan, but they had no consideration for the master's people. The word of God said in verse number 6, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. You say, Pastor, I'm afraid if I do what I'm supposed to do, somebody will be making fun of me. They may do it. People have said, well, I don't want to knock on the door. I'm afraid somebody will slam the door in my face. They may do it. But I'll tell you this. In the day of judgment, God will let them know that they had the truth standing right there on the other side of that door. The last time I looked at my hands, they're not bleeding. The last time I looked at my back, it's not bleeding. The last time I looked at my head, it's not bleeding. The last time I looked at my feet, they're not bleeding. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, there was a price paid. Some are making excuses not to come to the wedding. Others are making excuses not to invite people to the wedding. I've already touched on this, so I won't spend a lot of time on it, but the Savior's angry. The Word of God says wrath in one of the passages, and in the other passage it talks about the master of the house being angry, said to his servants, go out into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. I want to say this today. I want to say it kindly, but firmly. When America legalized liquor, men were happy, but God was angry. When America legalized abortion, many men were happy, but God was angry. When America legalized gambling, can I get some help this morning? Many men were happy, but God was angry. When America legalized marijuana, men were happy, but God was angry. I wonder, you know, you watch a cigarette commercial years ago, you don't even see them anymore. You get a billboard for liquor or for cigarettes. I just thought of something. I'd be willing to bet. How's that? Get in on the gambling crowd. I'd be willing to say there's a very good possibility Brother Thurman, that guy that's ripped ain't never drank a beer in his life. Probably ain't never touched a drop of liquor. How many's with me? That woman advertising the Virginia Slims probably ain't never smoked one in her life. I'm saying this. I met a guy the other day, about a month ago, and I'm not making fun of him, and I'm not even going to try to talk how he talked. He said, I got cancer. I'm going to Vanderbilt. I'm going to take my tongue out. Big tumor in his cheek. I'm not making fun of the man. If you've ever watched somebody drown in their own fluid, you'd beg them to try to get away from those things. Mankind were pleased when they said, well, now, finally, a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. But God was angry. I believe one of the things that's wrong in America is men have stopped standing in pulpits like this and preaching the whole counsel of God. He is a loving, merciful God. He'll save everyone that comes to Him in genuine faith, in genuine repentance. But He's angry with those that make excuse when they're invited to His supper. The last thing that I see in the message today is not only is supper ready, the servants are sent, and some make excuses, the Savior's angry. I love this part. Sinners are welcome. The Bible said here, Lord, it's done as Thou hast commanded. And yet there is room. How many believes, listen to me carefully, let me make a statement right here. How many believes, Brother Ralph, how long have you been a member of this church? Okay. Brother Grizz will help him. Would you hand him a calculator? How many years, brother? 1967. That's 50-some years, ain't it? Because I know we celebrated 50 years not too long ago. 50-some years. Brother Ralph, I'm going to ask you a question. Is there a desire in your heart to see this house full? Did you know, Brother Ralph, your pastor has that desire? There are others that have that desire. But you know there's somebody that desires that even more than we do. Amen. I'm not talking about, beloved, listen, for a show. I'm not talking about for the wrong motive. I'm talking about for the right motive. I'd love to see the place full. But I want you to know this. God will do it. If we'll do as Thou hast commanded, He'll do it. He'll honor it. It may not be the ones we invite. God will send them in from everywhere if we'll just do what God wants us to do. Sinners are welcome. The Bible said, yet there's room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Who's He looking for? The poor, the maimed, the halt, the blind. You know what you could say? The outcasts of this world. I'm not sure which book it is. I think it's the book of James that says, has not God chosen the poor in this world and the rich in faith? I believe with all of my heart, sinners are welcome. Have you ever thought about meeting the beggar? A lot of God's people, I think about meeting David or meeting Abraham or meeting Paul. Have you ever thought about meeting the beggar that laid at the rich man's gate full of sores? You know what, Brother Thurman? He's just as welcome at supper as I am. I've always said the ground, Brother Larry, is level at the foot of the cross. I guarantee you the ground's level at that table. Ain't going to be no big I's and little U's. Going to be a Savior and His people. I'm looking forward to it. In Jewish culture, I read this and I thought it was interesting. People are invited. There's going to be a wedding. But there was no set time. Then on that day, they sent out the servant to tell them all things were now ready. I don't know the time. I just believe in my heart, it's getting close. Amen. When the Son of God will say, come up hither. We'll leave this world of sorrow. We'll gather together with God's people around the throne. Supper's ready. Would you come? The servants are sent. Will you go? Supper's ready. Will you make excuses? At this supper, sinners are welcome. I think the church should be a hospital, a place where people can find healing, where they can find help, where they can find hope. Don't you? Our Father, we thank you today for the privilege to be here with your people. And by the way, Lord, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And drink of the water of life freely. It's our prayer, our Heavenly Father, that you would bless us together. Help us, Lord, to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Help us to be concerned about others. Help those today that may be among us that do not know you in the free pardon of sin. Help them to be honest. Help them, Lord, not to make excuses. Help them, Lord, as Brother Brian said that morning, come to the end. I never shall forget what he said. I can't go on anymore. I can't go any further. What a blessing it is, Lord, to commit our soul to your safekeeping. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed today.